we left off yesterday, focusing on a major machlokes acharonim, within a somewhat cryptic Rambam. The Rambam was discussing the issue of kovesh as it relates to Shabbos, is soaking, pickling, things of that nature, considered to be a malacha deraisa or not. So we go back for a moment to the fourth of the Rambam Kamos. So at the very end of that line, the Rambam writes, for kovesh also b'reishu kimavashel. So the Rambam says that if a person is kovesh, thing pickles things, that's considered to be an act of bishul on Shabbos. So many of the Acharonim, probably most of the Acharonim, follow the footsteps of the Chayyadam, the way we presented yesterday, that from the fact that the Rambam doesn't say Yechayim Mishum Vashel, and from the fact that the Rambam put it in the Perek, which was dealing primarily with the Rabbanans, it would appear that the Rambam sheet is actually that this is not really Mavashel. That Kovesh is Kimavashel, but not Mavashel Mamish. And that made a lot of sense, because just as we saw precedent for this in Hilchos Bosa B'Cholov, just as Kovesh by Bosa B'Cholov is not a Derais, that's a Beferish and Gemara, and just as Michas Chinuch said, Kovesh is not really Kimavashel for Korban Pesach, so it's not Kimavashel for Shabbos either. But the Yeres and Ibishet took on the rest of the world at the end of the Shia yesterday. He said, no, that the Rambam really meant it. That you're literally chayav, it's a chiyav skila for being kovesh and Shabbos, which was very startling, because Mishnah, what's the difference between kovesh and bas b'chol, that's clearly not deraisa, that was a beferish of Gemara, can argue with that, in contrast to Shabbos. So manishtara, the definition of bishul vis-a-vis Shabbos, for the definition of bishul vis-a-vis bas b'chol. So we started to develop teretz of every entity yesterday, going back to the fundamental question throughout the entire sugya, why should we say that kovesh is not kibavasha? What's the chisaron? Wherein lies the deficiency of kovesh, if not kibavasha? So we said in the name of the Michas Chinuch yesterday that there are two ways of understanding it. Either you understand it physically, or you understand halachically. If you understand it physically, that kovesh is just is doing it, just lamaisa in the world of chemistry and physics, it's just not happening. Bishul is not taking place. So then it would seem very, very strange to start to differentiate, would say, well, the physics changes on Shabbos than it does in Bas B'chol. That's absurd. Either the physics, Ehe Bishl, or Nish Bishl, you can't have it both ways. But if you're going to tell me that the deficiency of Kovesh Kimavasha and Bas B'chol is not a physical deficiency, rather it's a halachic deficiency, because as we said yesterday, it's in the world of the Beis Medrash, not the world of the laboratory. So then we can go back to the world of the Beis Medrash and ask ourselves, well, maybe that halachic deficiency somehow, some reason, doesn't spill over to Shabbos. So we're trying to be Malamit Chos, trying to be Yashiv, to be honest, I wish it's a reading of this Rambam. But what is it based on? It can't just be some arbitrary distinction. It has to be based on something. So what is it halachically that differentiates Bishul Bas B'Cholov from Bishul B'Shabbos? So the answer to this lies in something that we spoke about already several times. This idea of Bishul, and particularly with the Gemara and Shabbos, tells us that Bishul B'Chama, cooking in the sun, is not a deraisa. That's a given. It's a Mishnah, Gemara, Beferish, Sugya, Masechta Shabbos, third parak. Bishul B'Chama is not deraisa. And the question is, why not? What is it about Bishul B'Chama that's not deraisa? Presumably the food's cooking. If the food's not cooking, I don't need a Gemara to tell me that that's the whole Bishul. Of course the food's cooking. I have a cup of water, I put it to the sun, the water's boiling. I take an egg, I put it on the sidewalk in the middle of Arizona, it's frying. So I have a cooked egg, I have a cooked cup of water, a boiled cup of water. So why am I not chayav on Shabbos? So there's a major machlokes, the Gedolei Poskim, really the last generation, as to how to understand that. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that there's only one reason alone, that exempts you, that excludes Bishul B'Chama from being a full-fledged Bishul, and that is the age-old principle called Shalei Kederach. It's not normal. Meshugana, that crazy guy, what Meshugana boils up his water in the sun, what Meshugana fries his egg in the sun, it's Shalei Kederach. And the truth is that Rashi seems to be born out, I'm sorry, Ramesh seems to be born up by Rashi. There's a Rashi in Shabbos that seems to point in that direction. The simple Pshat in Rashi seems to bear Ramesh's Pshat, that the deficiency is Shalei Kederach. That's all there is, nothing more, nothing less. Rav Moshe has this understanding in a tshuva that at its time wasn't as relevant, but Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva already looking to the future. Rav Moshe was first presented with a shaila about microwaves, about what the general halachic take of microwaves is. Is microwaves an issue of bishul or not? Now that's a loaded question. That can impact bishul and Shabbos, that can impact bishul bas b'chol, that can impact bishul lakum, that can impact blias. There are a lot of shots that can depend upon that question. Is a microwave considered to be bishul or not? So Rav Moshe began to analyze this in way back in the early years of microwaves. So Rav Moshe says, if you think about it, a microwave is pretty similar to a bishul b'chama, because there's no flame there, there's no fire there. I'm doing some other kind of a way. Instead of using the rays of the sun, I'm using the microwaves. So comes Rav Moshe and says, he thinks that a microwave should be the halach equivalent to Bishul B'chama. And what is the status of Bishul B'chama? Says Rav Moshe. Well, the Mishnah says it's okay, but the reason is because it's Shalom Kederach. So now Rav Moshe says, whenever we're dealing with Shalom Kederach and Nuchah Shabbos, that changes according to the time and place. What was Shalom Kederach last year may become Kederach today, or vice versa. So Rav Moshe writes in a little bit of almost like Chocham Adaf Minavi. Rav Moshe writes, you know, right now, I don't remember the exact year that he was penning this tshuva, says right now, microwaves are not so common. Most people go to average kitchens, most people don't have microwaves. But it would appear to him it's going to catch on. That's what Rav Moshe writes. That's the law. He says, he thinks in down the line, microwaves are going to become very, very commonplace. And he says, if and when that occurs, then, says Rav Moshe, I think that cooking in a microwave is a malacha deraisa and Shabbos. Forget about electricity, just the cooking per se. So Rav Moshe writes, right now, maybe in the 1950s in the Lower East Side, it wasn't too common to have a microwave, but in Teaneck in 2019, it's going to become very, very common. It becomes so common to the point most people don't even use their ovens anymore. So microwaves are so normal. So says Rav Moshe, once they become normal, then they become bishul deraisa. The corollary of Rav Moshe is very, very important, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, concerning solar heating, that although in theory, in the days of the Mishnah, if someone would have seen you have solar or heating in your water, they would have said, you're Meshuggah, you're crazy. Because Manas then everybody has solar heating. The Dut Shemesh, so comes with Moshe and would say the same thing, that cooking in microwaves, cooking in Dut Shemesh, is cooking in any kind of contraption, that Tachlis, the mice that cooks the food, it doesn't really matter whether there's a flame. Flame is not Chayk L'Yav, it's not Halach Moshe that you need a flame. A flame is just just indicative of a normal way of cooking that, in fact, may change in time and place, even without the presence of a flame. That was Rav Moshe's view on the sugya of Bishul B'chama. In direct contrast to Rav Moshe was Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman said no. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that the existence of a flame is not just a technicality in terms of Derech Bishul, but rather it actually defines the very essence of Bishul. Bishul without a fire is not Bishul. Physically, it's changing, it's becoming edible, it's becoming boiled. That's not relevant. Bishul is a halachic term, and part and parcel of the halachic term of bishul means bishul be'esh, bishul be'or, bishul with a flame, or something that comes the direct result of a flame.
About an electric element.
Oh, very good, excellent. So the chayyur of Shlomo Zalman would agree that electric element is also, because we assume that's called the halachic flame. We assume that the same way when you turn on an electric light, so when there's a filament that's burning, glowing, that's burning, that's halachically like an esh. So cooking on an electric stove, according to Shlomo Zalman, would be in fact a deraisa. So Shlomo Zalman has a very, very different approach to the sugya than to Rav Moshe. Shlomo Zalman has a fascinating raya to his approach, that Bishul Be'esh is not just about normalcy, but it's about halachic terminology. There's a sugya in the third Perek of Shabbos that discusses Bishul B'chami Tveria. What's the deal? You live in Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, and you go ahead and you cook food, you heat up water in the hot springs of Tveria. Is that considered to be Bishul B'chama? Or is that considered to be Bishul B'esh? Is that a Diraisa? Or maybe that's worse than Dirabon, maybe even Mutter. So a whole sugya back and forth. I used to always talk about the sugya. Every year we had a famous shiur in NCSY Kollel every summer. It was called the Tveria, the Kinneret shiur. And we go once a summer, we go with the Bacharim up north, and we go for one of our many stops was Tveria, a nice good hot day in the summer of Tveria. So we go dip in the Kinneret. So I would always give a shiur in the Kinneret, in the water, in the middle of the swimming. So I'll shout out for the Yavuk, not a Yavuk, but in Mamash, in the water, about all halachic issues that I can remember that come up in the context of Tveria / the Kinneret. So we spoke about this Gemara, about Bishul B'chami Tveria. We spoke about the Gemara in Megillah, about which day you read the Megillah in Tveria. Is it a Sveik of the Yom in terms of is it Yadal day, is it a Tezvav day? We spoke about all the Tveria / Kinneret sugyas. So this is one of the sugyas that we would discuss. So comes the Gemara, has a whole machlokes. Yeah, no, yichayv, you're potter or not. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? The Gemara has a very, very fascinating way of presenting the machlokes. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the issue is. Is this Eish or is this not Eish? That's the Gemara Shalom. Where's the Eish in Chavi Tiberia? The Gemara says, well, we know where the heat is coming from. It's coming from the core of the earth, the hot, the heat, underneath the inside the earth. So one Tana said, there's no Eish there. What kind of Eish? It's not an Eish. So that's like Bishul B'chama in a sense. And the other Tana says, no, that's Bishul B'esh. You know why? And again, the Gemara makes a statement. Again, I don't know whether we should understand this literally, frequently, whatever Chazal met with the statement, Pischo shel Gehenem pesuach sham. The Gemara says, no. The heat from Chavi Tveria, you know where that's coming from? It's coming from underground, the right? Yes, Karach, where it's coming from. It's coming from the Eish again, whatever that statement means. So the Gemara says, and therefore the Tanaim are fighting it out. Is that called Bishul Mechav? Is that called Bishul Yesh? Ad kan divrei Gemara. Comes to Shlomo Zalman and says, I don't understand the whole Gemara. I don't understand the whole give and take of the Gemara. If Ramosha, in a sense, my colleague is right, if Ramosha is right, that the only thing that really matters is it derech or is it not derech, ma'ech patli, why do I care whether Pischa Shokahedim is there or not? I should simply go to Tiberia, knock on the door, ask 20 people, is this normal, is this not normal? If most of the people in Tiberia say, this is the way we cook things, yechayev, I don't care whether Kahedim is there or not. If most of the people say that it's not normal, then you potter. I don't care whether Kahedim is there or not. What does the Gemara make? What does the Gemara care whether there's an Eish or not? The Gemara makes it sound like Chayt lo yavar. Eish is absolutely critical. It says, Rosh Hashanah, and you see from here, the answer is, yep, that Eish is absolutely critical. And without an Eish, there's nothing to discuss. So again, a major, major machlokes is with Moshe and Rosh Hashanah. Of course, we come out, according to Rosh Hashanah, a lot of coolers. If you have any cooking, any heating, any shape or form that is not a formal halachic Eish, it can never be chayav deraisa. I didn't say it's mutlach and chilu, but it can never be chayav deraisa. Therefore, solar heating can never be a deraisa, according to Rosh Hashanah. Microwaves can never be a deraisa. Again, I'm leaving out the electricity and lights. Just the taking a cup of water and getting it cooked in a microwave, according to Rosh Hashanah, by definition, can never, ever, ever be a deraisa. Parenthetically, that should lead to an important machloikis about bishalachim also, because by a food that was cooked by a non-Jew in a microwave, according to Rav Moshe, it could still be bishalachim because it's normal to cook that way. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, l'chora that should be impossible. That's why for many years it was assumed that way, that Rav Moshe would aser bishalachim in a microwave, and Rav Shlomo Zalman would be matir. That's some svarim, right? So this was the big machloikis between Tinech and the Five Towns. For many, many years, it was the big machloikis within the Dunkin' Donuts, that each one of our communities had a Dunkin' Donuts that was basically run by non-Jews. And the question was about eggs, about can I go to a Dunkin' Donuts run by a non-Jew, being prepared by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is going to take raw eggs and throw them into the microwave and cook them up for me. Is that a problem of bishalachim or not? So it was usually assumed that according to Rav Moshe, that is a problem, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, but it's not a problem. That's why for years, in the Five Towns, there used to be a sign up on the Dunkin' Donuts that said, whoever wants eggs, please press, be careful to press the button yourself. The non-Jews behind the counter would know, the Jew comes to bless the eggs. He comes and he presses the button on the eggs. Shouldn't be a chashash bishalachim. And in Tinek, they did not have that sign. So apparently, the Five Towns was under the psak of Rav Moshe, and we were following the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman. That was the practice, apparently, for a while ago. Then things changed a little bit, because it's not even clear that Rav Shlomo Zalman was making on the Shaila. There were some Rabbanim who claimed they spoke to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who said that he didn't even say this about Bishalachim. Why not? I'm not sure. But then other things that changed in the equation was, it came to our attention that the eggs were not eggs, that they were, whatever they were, they weren't the royal achila of any shape before, whatever they were. They weren't Ola Shech Balachim, they weren't, I don't know what they were. But the bottom line is, the Yesh Lachal. So anyone from the Five Towns, next time you're in the Five Towns, go check the Dunkin' Donuts, see where they take the sign off. But in the Five Towns, Tidek, they never wore such a sign. But back to that story of Kabbash. So we have Machloikis, the Gedolei Aposkim, to Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman. What is the problem of Bishul Mechama? What is the deficiency of Bishul Mechama? L'chora, since we have been equating Kavush to Bishul Mechama, now whatever the deficiency was for Kavush is going to spill over, is going to carry over to... So whatever the deficiency was for Chama is going to spill over to Kavush. Why is it that halachically Kavush is not Kavishul? Again, what is it based on that Kavush is not Kavishul? So one could argue that is the halach equivalent of Chama. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, what that means is there's no flame. That's the end of the discussion. There's no flame. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, no flame, no bishul. No flame, therefore the sun is no bishul. Therefore microwaves are no bishul. Therefore pickling is no bishul. Soak is it. There's no such thing as bishul min haTorah in any shape or form, in kol haTorah kula, without a flame present. And therefore, if the Gemara says that there's no bishul basa b'cholav on kavush, so then the absolute chayv lo yavo karler, that statement is, then there's no bishul on Shabbos either. It is inconceivable for there to be bishul b'darais on Shabbos, because according to Shlomo Zalman, there's only one question alone, where is the fire? Where is the flame? If there's no flame, then there's no bishul. And therefore, kavush falls short, chama falls short, solar heating falls short, microwave falls short, everything falls short, Bein b'Shabbos, Bein b'Bas b'Chala, Bein b'Chol Terakula, Karben Peyach, Bishul without a flame just does not constitute a Bishul, end of discussion. If that is the case, then Rabbi Yonasan Amshitz cannot be correct.
But didn't we have a Diyuk in the Gemara Pesachim that said that there was an Isur Daraisa of Kavush Kavushul?
There are Blias, that there are Blias. Blias here, Bishul, no. It means a Maisa Bishul, Bishum Parav Oifet, but the Maisa is so hot. So since it's still hot, that's enough for Blias. For Blias, you don't need Bishul. So this seems to be, if you follow the direct line of reasoning from Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Yosef Abishas is not, cannot even begin to discuss. He cannot even get off the ground. However, what if you go down Rav Moshe's room? What if you look at Rav Moshe? There is no chayp lo yava, there's no halacha mosh sinai, there's no absolute rule called flame. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. When do you need a flame? If and when, to express a normal act of cooking, then you need a flame. So you have to go case by case. Microwave of the 1950s is not microwaves today. Solar heating of Chazal is not solar heating of today. Everything depends on the time and place. And guess what? Everything may depend on the type of food that you're cooking also. Some foods we may say, this does qualify as Bishul. Other foods we may say, doesn't qualify as Bishul. What did the Gemara say in Maseches Pesachim about Bishul Basa B'cholov? All the Gemara said is that if you take a piece of meat and you soak it in milk, that's not called Bishul Basa B'cholov. Why not? Not because you need a flame, because that's Shalok HaDerech. Rav Moshe said, that's not normal. When was the last time you saw a recipe that's called for, here's this gewaltic steak in milk? You don't have to bother cooking it. Don't put it into the stove. Don't put it into the fire. Just soak it for 24 hours. That's ridiculous. That's Shalok HaDerech Bishul. Nobody does that. Since that's not the normal way of, quote-unquote, cooking Basa B'cholov, therefore, by Basa B'cholov, Bishul, they kavush in a sense, fall short. But what if you do something that's very, very normal? For example, as the Rambam describes, you kavush kavashim, you're making pickles. So someone's going to say, a guy takes a cucumber and soaks it and say, no, that's not Bishul. You know why? Because he's Meshuggah. He's Meshuggah. That's how you make pickles. That's the normal way of making pickles. So according to Moshe's understanding, that there is no halachic requirement as an absolute halachic requirement of Eish. Every case depends on time and place and item. So it could be we could split between the two. Bishul Bas B'cholov falls short because of Kavish is not derech Bishul Bas B'cholov. But at the same time, Kavish Kavash Machapas may be there, right? So at the end of the day, we have really three different approaches to understand the same words. One simple one line in the Gemara. All the Gemara told us is that if you take meat and you take milk and you cook it and you soak it together, that will not be Bas B'chol derech. So that's given. Can't argue with that line. Why not? Why isn't it Bas B'chol derech? So one approach is because it never physically cooked. Kavash is just not kavush, it just doesn't do the trick. In the laboratory, it just doesn't cook, finish, end of discussion. If that's the case, then obviously it doesn't cook on Shabbos either. But maybe that's not the correct shot. Maybe it's not a physical issue, it's a halachic issue. But even within the halachic issue, we further broke down to two categories. We had two ways of understanding what the halachic deficiency is. Either the halachic deficiency is an absolute chayk v'lo yav, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you need a fire, without a fire, nothing to discuss. So then, in Ochinami, then if it's not a bishul in Bas B'cholov, it's not going to be a bishul in Kol Ta'akul, including Shabbos. The third possibility was, yes, it's a halachic issue, but it's not a halachic issue of an absolute requirement of fire, but rather it's simply a halachic requirement of kederach. If it's kederach, then we can negotiate. Kederach, maybe not kederach for Bas B'cholov, maybe kederach for Shabbos. So we have a basic din that everyone agrees to. It's a gemara, favorite gemara, that the gemara says, "Tali kulia b'chal b'shari b'natori, you soak me in milk for forever." It's not Bas B'cholov deraisa. It's not bishul Bas B'cholov. We don't know why. Three possibilities: either mitzias or halacha. And within halacha, we have a further breakdown: either an absolute halacha of eish or jeshul kederach. And again, the nafkamina would be how to read this Rambam Hilchos Shabbos. So the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos ultimately hinges upon reading of this gemara himself.
Can you also make a distinction like an Avin and Tolda? I mean, just like the basic distinction of Avin and Tolda?
Okay, so Israel's going down a whole other path of that maybe it could qualify almost as a Tolda of Shabbos, but not necessarily a Tolda wouldn't apply in Bas B'cholov. You're assuming that Toldos don't apply in Bas B'cholov. You're assuming like a Tolda in B'chorot, not a bad assumption. That the parish of Toldos was only Nischadish in Shabbos, and there's no parallel concept in Kol Tarakula. There's a Shibbe Kubetzis and Baba Kama that disagrees. That's a whole nother discussion. So hang in till the beginning of the 8th parak. I'm not sure what year you should hang into, because we may run out of time this year in terms of the sigyas, but in theory, at the beginning, if we don't make it in Kol HaBoker, so go on to Wayu Torah in around April or so, and you'll probably chop around. We'll talk a little bit about that at the beginning of the 8th parak.
According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm trying to understand whether timing is a factor, because Lamasho, if you cook up water and you get it really, really hot, right, then you turn off the flame and you plunk in a baby bottle, and that cooks up the milk. Is there a flame?
Oh, so that's another story. That's a Kli Rishon that had a flame at one time,
yeah.
Doesn't have a flame now. Yeah. According to the Pashup Shat, that's Melacha D'oraisa Bishul. And the Yerushalmi may disagree, depending on what you think about reading a certain Yerushalmi, and the Rabbah may disagree. So that's part of the eighth parak. Imtim Tzaloma, that's called Bishul, is that an Av Melacha Bishul or a Tol Bishul? That's a further question. That's a whole nother world at the beginning of the eighth parak. So we're still trying to test case. We're still not 100% sure. We've exhausted every single case of Bishul and Halacha to see whether Kovash really is like Bishul or not. So there are two more areas that we have to investigate. Maybe we can shed some light on our global question before we can move on to the next part of the sugya. So one is the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. Is the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim on Daf Lamed Tes. The Mishnah says about the mitzvah of Maror. Yotze ben ben lachem ben yevashin. You can fulfill the mitzvah of maror when the maror is moist, when the maror is dried out a little bit. But one thing is out of the question. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of maror with cooked maror or shalak, maybe even super cooked maror, or with kavush maror. Maror that was soaked. Now, it's unclear exactly, does that mean soaked in vinegar, soaked in water? Hopefully that'll be part of the next sugya in terms of the intricacies of what is kavush. But just in terms of lamdos, the Mishnah says beferish, you can't be yotze with mevushal, you can't be yotze with kavush. What does that indicate to us? So at first glance, this seems to be very much in sync with what Rav Yonasan Avishai is saying. This seems to indicate that kavush ke mevushal is the real thing. Kavush ke mevushal is mevushal. Kavush is really like bishal. If kavush is only bleis, why does that disqualify the maror? L'chara, the psul of maror is maror ha-mevushal, maror that's cooked as posel. So if the Mishnah is equating one breath, kovush, maror ha-kovush is like a maror ha-mevushal, it sounds like kovush is like mevushal. If kovush is simply something that impacts on blias, why should l'chaz blias, why should your day impact on the maror? So l'chara, the answer is that it's not necessarily right at all. Because why is maror ha-mevushal no good? Well, what's the problem with maror ha-mevushal? So the Gemara says, because ba'idan ta'am maror, because the maror has to taste like maror, you can't change the taste of maror. Now the Yerushalmi raises the question, when we eat lettuce as maror, it doesn't taste too bitter. That's okay. It doesn't have to be bitter. It's a funny hagdar. It doesn't have to be bitter. It has to have the taste of maror, whatever the taste of maror is. It happens to be that our lettuce will be very bitter if you leave it in the ground a little longer. We just jump the gun and grab it out of the ground before it turns very, very bitter. So, but bottom line is, whatever species of maror you are using, you cannot alter that taste. That's called ba'inatam maravaleika. If that's the case, so then what's the posel of maror ha-mevushal? It's not a maisa bishul that's a posel. It's a shini tam that's a posel. Shini tam, when you have blias by definition means that there's taste floating around. When you covered something, so you altered its taste. You moved some of the tam out of it. By moving some of the tam out of it, you were dafka pasel de maror. So the posel of maror ha-mevushal is not bishul. The posel of maror ha-mevushal is the shini of tam. Shini of tam can be accomplished even if kovash is not literally kim ha-mevushal. So not necessarily a good raya. One more possible raya, and the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, the throwback that we spoke about in the last sugya. Tavshil zet sli afilu kovash shalach ha-mevushal. When we speak about Erev Tavshilin, right? We spoke about why you need an Erev Tavshilin. The tavshil need not be halachically cooked. It can be roasted also. So if you want to make a piece of, you want to barbecue a steak and before Yom Tov and use that as the Erev Tavshilin, that's perfectly okay. And for that matter, if you want to use a dove of kovash, that's also okay. You can soak and pickle something, that's also okay. Now, it's a little tricky because the item of Erev Tavshilin has to be what's called a lapis as a pas. It has to be something that you would smear onto bread, something you would eat as a sandwich. So you can use an egg, because people make egg salad sandwiches. You can use a piece of gefilte fish, people make a gefilte fish sandwich. You can use a piece of chicken, people make chicken salad sandwiches. You can use a steak, people throw a steak into a pita. Those are things that can be used for Erev Tavshilin. You can't use, let's say, a piece of potato kugel, because most normal people don't make potato kugel sandwiches. The potato kugel is very, very good, yummy and delicious, but it's no good for an Erev Tavshilin. So if you want to pick something, some pickled, some soaked, some marinated, something or other, that would potentially be okay, as long as it meets all the other conditions, criteria of Erev Tavshilin. But if it's kovash, it's all right. Wait a second, if it's kovash, it's okay. How is that okay? Doesn't it have to be Erev Tavshilin? Oh, isn't this like Rav Yonasan Avishai's? Isn't this pointing in a direction that, yeah, it is mevushal. It's considered to be that it was cooked. So one of two possible refutations to this. First of all, it's always hard when you start to mix and match dim d'rabban and dim d'raisa. Erev Tavshilin is only a dim d'rabban anyway. And it could be that Chazal almost like lowered the standards a little bit. It doesn't have to be purely halachically cooked. has to be something that you worked on, that you made edible. A nafkamina, whether it's bishul, whether it's sleeve, whether it's kavush. We're not so medactic in the lashonos in terms of erev tavshilin in order for it to be acceptable. So one could simply be docha that it's hard to bring a raya just because it constitutes an acceptable erev tavshilin doesn't mean you have skill for doing it on Shabbos. It's not necessarily the same definition. Or maybe one could be docha, perhaps a little bit more, as follows. Rav Yonatan Eibishitz, the same. The Chaim Tzvi, the other side. The Chaim Tzvi. See, in my mind, I was thinking, was the Chaim Tzvi himself, was his son, whatever. So, the Chaim Tzvi says that when it says in the Gemara in Beit, Tavshel Zet Sliva Filo Kavush, we misread the Gemara. I thought it meant this Tavshel Zet, the Tavshel that you want to use for your Tavshelim. Here are your choices: Sli, choice number one. Or if you choose not to have choice number one, then afilu kovush. So even kovush is also acceptable. Says the Chaim Tzvi, no. That's not how to read the Braisa. What it means is tavshul ze tzli va'afilu kovush. What does that mean? It was first kovush, and then you subsequently would sell it. So it's not category one and two. It's one now qualifying itself, even though it was originally kovush. So what does that mean? Even though I could have argued, what you did now, you didn't really do anything. You didn't accomplish anything by roasting it because it was kavush already. It was already edible, and we all know that kavush is not acceptable for an erev tavshilin. Okay, remember the exact flip side of the Gemara. The Chaim Tzvi read this Gemara and says the Gemara could be saying the exact opposite of what we thought it was saying. That you thought it was saying tzli is good and kavush is good. No, it's saying kavush is no good. It could be tzli va'afilu kavush even if it was kavush before, and you subsequently would sell it. But if you weren't sold it, then out of the question, that's no good. You know why it's no good? Because kavush is not kibbushel.
So as you read the rest of the Gemara.
Yeah, no, and then it's no. And then it's giving a vafilu kavush period, and then it's saying other kinds of things. Shalak kibbushel would also be over there. It's a very, very unique way of reading it. If you remember from the last sugya, the Chaim Tzvi played devil's advocate with us on this Gemara, because he's the one who also said that, where does it say maliach is no good? Maybe maliach is good. So here he's saying that maybe all these things are no good, and in the last thing he would say maybe they are good. The halacha, we probably assume malich is no good and kavush is good. But the Chaim Tzvi was saying there's no raya brew for the Gemara. So at the end of the day, we don't have any crystal clear raya from the Gemara to our fundamental shaila. What is the nature of the din that there's no bishul bas b'chov deraisa kavush? We know that as a fact. It's a Gemara in Pesach. We can't argue with that. It's not a deraisa. Since it's not a deraisa, but we're not quite sure why it's not a deraisa. Does that indicate anything does about Shabbos or not, depending on the three different bureaum as to why it's not a deraisa? We try to find other areas of halacha that could potentially impact on the shaila, either the Mora shaila or the Eftav Shilin shaila. We realize that neither one is an ironclad raya. Mora may be working with its rules, Eftav Shilin may have its own set of rules, and therefore we're stuck back to square one. As Bechala, we're very, very confident there's no deraisa of kavush. Shabbos, we're a little bit less confident, depending on the three ways of reading this Gemara. Hopefully, Metz Hashem in the next year will now take everything that we know about the fact that these are the facts, that there is no bishul deraisa on kavush, there is blias deraisa on kavush. What does that translate to mean in halacha? How does that impact in terms of questions primarily of sveikus? Sveikus of kavush in basa b'chol, sveikus of kavush in other areas of halacha. How does all this play out lamaisa based on all the back of that we discussed up until now? Okay, let's hear from Friday. We'll continue.